Oh, you don't know how to jump? Oh, you can't jump because you didn't get Collector's Edition.
You didn't get the pre-order bonus from GameStop.
Let you jump.
You're not allowed to jump. They took that out. Hello and welcome to the 10th episode of Between the Pixels. I'm Akatosh.
Oh.
You see your Macintosh?
Akatosh.
Oh, I'm Jargon.
I'm the Gnarl of Between the Pixels.
I'm Jared.
Gnarl.
And I'm Tiber Septim.
I'm Derek. I'm Xavier.
I'm Devin.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Chez.
That's by far the best intro we've done ever out of all the podcasts we've done.
Brian, you know you're last, right?
Yeah, but he said, and I'm Chez, so...
Seriously, my heat sink is about to explode. It's so loud.
Really? Well then...
Hey, that's irrelevant. Joining us this week is Chez, my friend. Special guest. Hey, Chez.
Hey, Jared.
I'm actually pretty shocked about this special guest because it still is so new to me that Jared has a friend.
I totally agree. I was just about to say that, Derek.
It's like, holy crap, Jared's friend, damn right he needs to be on the podcast because I didn't really believe he existed.
Hey guys, meet this kid I paid to be my friend. So, this past Friday, Skyrim came out, and we'll be sharing our stories of quests and glory very soon. But before we get into that, gentlemen, let us remind our listeners of a few things. Firstly, if you weren't aware, we are the podcast for Pixel Perfect. PixelPerfectMag.com is the URL. New content going up daily.
Check it out.
Anywhere.
Underwear.
Anyway, so some of the stuff we had go up this week. We had a review go up on Blackwater, which is a Kinect game, first-person shooter Kinect game, which no one really wants to play. But it didn't do too well. Justin gave it a very utterly average score. So check that out. Also, we had our third strip in our weekly comic, New Low Score, go up this past Saturday. Remember, that comes out every Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Obviously, we have news going up every day.
Battlefield 3 review is now up.
Didn't we already talk about that?
Maybe, but it's up there.
Hey, it's still up there. We don't delete it.
We don't delete our content, guys.
We keep it all up there. Hey, something new and happening that's not coming out yet, or will come out in the future. We're doing a holiday gift guide for 2011, obviously. I think it's going to be sometime before Black Friday. So look forward to that. If you don't know what to purchase, we will tell you what to purchase.
I'm looking forward to it.
And there we go. That's our ring and review from Derek. He's looking forward to it. Lastly, remember that each week we are playing a new indie game. Except for this week, because we're busy with Skyrim and other ventures. However, we will be playing a new one this coming week. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at BTWNThePixels so that you don't miss out on what game we'll be playing.
Yeah.
Since house cleaning was so much fun, I don't think anything exciting happened this week.
Nope.
Modern Warfare 3 came out.
Devin, he said nothing exciting happened this week.
No engagements.
I got engaged.
What are you implying?
He's implying that I got engaged.
Are you really? Did you really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh.
Congratulations.
Wow. Thanks.
I thought you were married.
No, I'm not already married.
No, they had a common law marriage.
Anyway, congratulations to Derek. You got engaged.
Thanks. Congrats.
Oh, well, yay.
Thank you.
Am I invited to your wedding?
Jared's going
to
be my best man.
The bestest.
Yeah, and you're all invited, by the way. I'm not going to send out invitations. That's stupid.
Look for his e-invitation.
Are you going to send out invitations to all listeners of this podcast?
Yeah, if you listen to this podcast and you know where I'm going to get married, because I don't know, you can just show up to my wedding.
We'll tweet it out. We'll tweet out Derek's home address and his phone number.
Derek, when are you getting married?
Maybe this June, maybe next June.
Oh, great. We're going to have to rename this podcast Two Married Guys and Two Gay Guys.
There's certainly not two married guys on here.
Well, there's going to be.
Are you getting married too, Ryan?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm engaged. I figured you knew that. Thought you all knew that I was engaged.
Wow, 50% of us are engaged. That's weird.
Holy crap, Derek. You're good at math.
Derek, do you have a calculator at hand?
As a matter of fact,
what I was going to say originally, I was going to say, this is what I have written down on my sheet. Chez can attest to that. I was going to say, I don't think anything exciting happened this week. No good games, no engagement, no longtime coaches leaving great football teams because a bunch of idiots just want to see him gone, even though all the facts aren't in yet. There, that's your Joe Paterno reference.
Thank you. I was waiting for it.
Now we can get the podcast started.
Oh, we should have invited Joe Paterno.
So, what have you guys been doing this week? Other than Skyrim, has anybody played any other video games before
Holy
we get into
shit,
Skyrim?
I don't know how you could.
I completely disassembled my Xbox today.
That's not a game, Brian.
That seems counterproductive.
I want to play Skyrim and I disassembled my Xbox.
What for?
Long story short, I'm having some problems with Skyrim. We'll talk about that later. But I figured the problem was due to dust in my Xbox. So I took it apart to clean it out.
So instead of just like blowing a can of air into it or anything, you just ripped it all apart?
I tried that first.
But you couldn't figure out how to use the air can?
I'm going to have better luck if I just take this thing apart.
I don't get this. Whatever. How do you open this sucker?
There was a lot more dust trapped inside of it than the can air would
have
got.
So did that solve your problem?
No.
Because the issue was that his controller wasn't working.
It turns out that my Xbox is FUBAR.
Batteries died in the controller.
It lasted me 7 years almost, so I guess that's pretty darn good.
That's pretty good. You got your money's worth out of it.
So how are you going to play Skyrim?
My PC.
That's the way to go, man.
That we're... You love the Elder Scrolls so much, and I can't believe it's like 3 days after launch and you still haven't even played it yet.
I played it, just not all that much.
Brian, you played a good amount.
Yeah, Devin knows.
Yeah, from personal experience, Devin, because he was sitting there watching me, obviously.
Jerking it.
I'm downloading the Elder Scrolls for my computer right now, which actually I really should have bought it for PC to begin with. I just didn't realize my computer could even run it.
That's what I'm saying, Brian. You should have bought it for PC.
For computer.
I love how Jared said we're not going to get into Skyrim right now. We're just fucking in there. Brian's just like, whatever. This is a Skyrim podcast. Get out the way.
It was a fun experience taking apart my Xbox, though. It was kind of interesting. Never done that before.
You have to break a seal to get in there, right?
Oh, yeah. Dude, my warranty is so far expired by now anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Matter.
But like, there's like literally a seal that you have to break, right?
There's a sticker.
Okay.
I mean, like, whoop-de-doop. I mean, it really didn't affect me at all, yeah, considering I was already pretty much FUBAR'd for any game I was playing. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to break it more.
Yeah, I gotcha. So, what was the problem that led up to you thinking there's too much dust in there?
The best way to explain this would be to show you the YouTube video that I shot.
The best way.
Best way is to go to my YouTube channel and hit the like button.
Subscribe. Comment, rate, subscribe.
Try to explain it real quick. You already linked that to us.
No, that's a different one.
Okay, well, just try to explain it for the users listening to us.
Basically, the textures would like stretch out and be all warped. For example, someone would be walking by and like the texture on their finger, like they could be pointing, but there would be this long skin tone thing jutting out the side of their arm.
A dick.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, did they have dick
And it would
finger?
Go on forever. What?
Did they have dick finger?
Yeah, they had dick finger.
So and this was happening on multiple games?
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you sure that wasn't like a pre-order bonus?
I better not, Ben. I think it's pretty lame pre-order. Well, unless it gave me dick finger, then it might be a cool pre-order bonus.
Why don't you just say like a big dick? You're like, it gave me a big dick finger. You'd rather have a big dick finger than a big dick.
But imagine all the things you could do with a giant dick finger.
If you watch the video, though, you understand. And then the game would freeze, and I have to turn it off, and it would freeze every couple of minutes, which was... The game's great and all, but it ain't worth playing in three-minute intervals.
I wish I could talk to your neighbors whenever stuff like this happens, because I bet you they got some funny stories of you flipping out.
Yeah, well, there's a new hole in my wall. Well, several, actually.
Let me guess. Your shit froze whenever you booted up Skyrim, and you just threw a ninja star into it.
So you grabbed your samurai sword and started slight... Is that how you tried to open your Xbox with a samurai sword?
And you somehow didn't break the seal.
No. I actually looked up a YouTube video on how to do it and followed the directions rather closely. After about 6 hours of trying to fix the problem, I ended up putting a hole through one of my bedroom doors.
Did that help you get the game working?
Actually, it did for a short time. Then it broke again.
Punching the door helped?
Yeah, I should probably start doing that more often.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anyway, Chez, you played Modern Warfare 3.
Yes, I did.
How's that game?
You know, I've always played the Call of Duties, and I just started playing Battlefield 2 a little bit ago, and I kind of got hooked on Battlefield 2. The biggest problem with it was there wasn't really a whole lot of people on there. And I told myself I wasn't going to buy Modern Warfare 3, that I was going to try and stick with Battlefield. And I played Battlefield for the first couple days it was out, and I didn't really like it at all. Single player was not worth playing at all. There was way too many glitches. You know, you'd start swimming in random places that there wasn't even water.
In the campaign?
In the campaign, yeah. I mean, obviously you don't buy a game like that for the campaign. You'd buy it for online play.
Yeah.
The online play was all right. It wasn't what I expected it to be. It was kind of like playing Battlefield 2 again, just with different maps.
Was there any random swimming in the multiplayer?
Not really. No, that was more for just a single player campaign.
It was a bonus.
There wasn't really too many glitches for online play, I have to say.
Well, that's the first campaign that DICE has done in any of their Battlefield games. Well, I mean, unless you count Battlefield Bad Company, but I mean, as far as like the main Battlefield series, this was the only one. Did you finish the campaign?
Yeah, I finished it. It was very quick, and you know, it was lame, really, I think, the storyline. I played pretty much right after that. I actually went out and I bought Modern Warfare 3, and the storyline was great. I liked the storyline a lot for Modern Warfare 3. It was just, there was more involvement. And the online play, I think the online play for all the Call of Duties are relatively the same. But there's just, it's just, I think it's a better game overall than Battlefield. I ran across absolutely no glitches, whether it was online play or single player. And I do better at Modern Warfare 3, so that might be a little biased there. But
I guess the big question is, are you going to keep playing either of these two games?
Modern Warfare 3.
Just because it's more Modern Warfare? And you just like, do you like Modern Warfare a lot? Are you a big Modern Warfare fan?
I like, for example, I like Modern Warfare 2 more than I did, like, Black Ops. Like, I wasn't a fan of Black Ops at all. I think if you were just to compare Battlefield 3 and Modern Warfare 3, I think Modern Warfare 3 wins. And also, what kind of stinks about Battlefield 3 is you need to download the HD. And, like, for example, my one, that might not be a big problem for too many people, but, like, my one friend, he had a flash drive. Why he would have a flash drive, I don't know. That's kind of his own problem. But
it's the best way to play.
You know, but the point is they kind of make you go that, you know, little extra mile, you know, to download HD, I think is kind of stupid.
That is horseshit. I want my HD on the disc. What the deal?
Pixel Perfect is starting a campaign, HD on disc.
But, you know, I think Modern Warfare 3, I ran across no issues, no problems, and I liked the campaign. You know, it'd be worth playing again, even just the single player campaign. Battlefield, it wouldn't be worth it at all.
What about compared to Modern Warfare 2? Does it stack up being better than Modern Warfare 2?
Yeah, does it stack up being better?
Which game are you talking about? Modern Warfare 3?
Yeah, is it better than the second one?
I think so. I think it's, again, I haven't played it all too much since Skyrim's come out. I've played it only a little bit. But from what I've played so far, I like it a lot. What I like about it too is, if you look at Modern Warfare 2, and also it depends on kind of the type of gamer that you are, I think Modern Warfare 3, with the weapons that they start you out with and the way the gameplay is, it's not as difficult for somebody who might be just starting to play or somebody who's a level 1 to actually be able to compete with people who are at higher levels. When you play Modern Warfare 2, your best bet is to just get the kills that you can to build up levels and get the better weapons. But I think Modern Warfare 3 just makes it, it's an easier game to play.
Yeah, that's what I heard. There's like a lot of, this time around for, aren't there like different perks packages or something like that? Like a support package or something?
Yeah, there's different perks. You know, again, I haven't really been able to dive into it all too much. But overall, I only played Battlefield 3 for a little bit and Modern Warfare 3 for a little bit. And I definitely choose Modern Warfare 3.
There you go. Are any of you guys think you'll ever pick up Modern Warfare 3 or anything? I won't. I know Brian won't. I can pretty much say no to that because I know he's not into shooters.
I think I'll pick up Modern Warfare 3. I just, after Skyrim, like, fades off a little bit, I think I'll pick up Modern Warfare 3.
So, like, next year.
I played Modern Warfare 2 and, oh, wait, what was the first one? Modern Warfare I played and then Modern Warfare 2, and I skipped Black Ops. A friend of mine got Black Ops. I started playing it a little bit just because I borrowed it from him, but it just felt like more of the same. But I guess if there's new perks and stuff I got this time around with Modern Warfare 3, I'll probably pick it up. I've never played any Battlefield.
Well, another thing you want to keep in mind with Battlefield 2 that I kind of ran across with the online play is with the vehicles. I know that's one of the things that they try to push forward since Modern Warfare 3, there's no vehicles involved. The problem with it is, I think, Battlefield 2, they were fine. Battlefield 3, they're even something as simple as, you know, getting into a tank can be glitchy. You know, like, you know, you'll run up to it, you'll press X to get in, and you won't get in right away. Or even driving the vehicles are a lot more difficult. The terrain, the way the terrain is built, like if you're riding a tank, you'll get stuck on something very simple that you'll have to just maneuver around. You know,
that'll be fixed, though, don't you think? I mean, they'll probably have a patch for that soon and have all that cleaned up. It kind of sucks that it launched that way, but, you know, it'll be cleaned up.
I agree. I mean, I'm sure they'll do something to fix it. I think, personally, I think they kind of rushed the game out to beat Call of Duty when they probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, again, like, if anybody was to play Battlefield 2, Battlefield 2, again, was a great game, I think. Unfortunately, there's just not enough people playing it because they're all playing Black Ops or Modern Warfare 2. So I think Battlefield tried to get it out there first to almost kind of force people to maybe play that game before Black Ops or before Modern Warfare 3 came out.
Did you play Battlefield 2 on PC?
Xbox.
Oh, there's a good community still on PC. They're still playing Battlefield 1942.
Yeah, when it comes to my PC is kind of lame. It pretty much runs Diablo 2, and that's about it.
Well, that's all you really need.
That's pretty high tech there.
No, I played the kind of open beta that they had on 360 a while back, and that wasn't a final version of Battlefield 3, but it was kind of disappointing, just the overall feel of it. I played a lot of Battlefield 2, and I played 1942 a good bit, but more so Battlefield 2 I put a lot of time into, and it just didn't stack up to that, for sure. I don't know. I don't think I'll end up picking up either. Like, Modern Warfare 3, I'll probably pick that up just to play Spec Ops at some point.
I'll tell you what, the Spec Ops, me and my one friend tried playing it. We put it on just easy, and it's pretty difficult. I know that, like, for Black Ops...
Well, that's because you're bad.
Well, I don't think so. I think for Black Ops, I think Black Ops was pretty easy, personally. If you had somebody who was pretty competent and, you know, you both kind of knew what you were doing, you'd be able to roll through it, all three difficulties with ease. This one is, you really got to work as a team. If you're going to play, even on something as simple as easy, I think.
Did you play the Modern Warfare 2 Spec Ops?
No.
Well, I'm amazing at that.
If you have me, maybe.
Yeah, whatever. Devin, I carried you.
Okay.
Did you hear that Modern Warfare 3 sold 6.5 million copies in its first 24 hours?
That's incredible. Is that a record or something?
Yeah, it generated $400 million in sales, and this is all first 24 hours. Making Modern Warfare 3 the biggest entertainment launch of all time.
Jeez.
Wow.
I think Modern Warfare 2 was the one before it.
No, I think, wasn't Black Ops the one before that was really big?
I don't know if Black Ops beat it or not.
Wow, I had no idea Call of Duty was this big.
Yeah, way bigger than Skyrim. I mean, how many people bought Skyrim on the first day?
They didn't even have Midnight Madness, but whatever, we'll get into that.
They didn't have cookies outside!
What the hell? Well, we could talk a little bit about Skyrim. Did you guys watch...
Oh, finally! Here, this is why I came!
But Derek has to leave.
Yeah, just boot Derek out of the call first.
Did you guys see all the Skyrim... Like, a lot of different websites were doing, like, 10-hour, 12-hour live streams of people playing Skyrim?
Yeah. I watched it on Giant Bomb. I don't want to watch much of it because I didn't want to get... Any spoilers from it?
I wrote a joke, but obviously this isn't turning out so well.
You wrote a joke?
Yeah, really? Here's the joke. This is exactly what I wrote down. All these websites are doing live streams of them playing Skyrim, therefore so am I. So come to my place, you can sit behind me on my bed, or I have a lazy boy, my mom will make us bagel bites, and you can watch me play live. How's that for a joke?
Okay. You go to hell.
Thanks, Brian.
I enjoyed it.
How's that a joke?
Hey, let's talk about Skyrim.
No, could you read us the rest of the jokes you wrote down?
Yeah, let me get on that.
I like bagel bites, buddy.
Fuck yeah. Pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time.
Derek, you're the worst person
that
We're
I know.
We're sponsored by Bagel Bites this week.
Oh, yeah, sponsor this week, Bagel Bites. Buy them. They taste like crap.
How dare you?
Oh, God. No, no, no. Okay, this is clearly going to become a Bagel Bites podcast.
Oh, God. Okay, now you talked about Bagel Bites, you've gone too far.
Brian's in on this now.
Oh, real quick, back to Modern Warfare 3. I just remembered this. Did you guys see the Mountain Dew promotion where you turn in the, you get the caps from Mountain Dews and Doritos? And okay, there's no caps on Doritos, but you know what I mean. They have these codes where you can turn them in for like double XP on Modern Warfare 3. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did Chez do that?
Chez did not do that.
Well, you should. I have a bunch of caps saved up if you want, because I'm probably not going to have Modern Warfare 3 until the caps will expire.
So you were saving the caps for that reason?
Yeah, and then I realized it was too close to Skyrim, so I was like, I'm playing Skyrim.
I don't really care about double XP, even if I was playing that game.
Whatever.
But there you go, so we're giving out free caps.
Follow us on Twitter, we'll give you free cap codes.
Yeah, hit us up on Twitter if you want free XP or whatever.
Free double XP.
Double XP time.
Whatever. If you want free Modern Warfare sodas, call us. 1-800-PIXEL-PERFECT.
That's too many letters.
That's debatable. So, we all played Skyrim this week, right?
Yeah.
Except for Chaz, right?
No, I've played it.
Oh, well.
He just said that. Like, where were you, dude?
Doing my Christmas shopping? What?
Brian, do you know the podcast started?
No.
Skyrim, folks. Talk about it.
We all got it on launch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone got it on launch. Explain your launch launch stories.
I don't really have much of a story, so I guess I'll go first. Mine's anticlimactic.
I went to the store and bought it.
No, I had it pre-ordered it at GameStop at the mall. It's like a couple miles from my house. So I called them the night before because I had thought for sure there would be Midnight Madness. This is a pretty big game, and it's a pretty anticipated release. So I thought, you know, for sure they're going to do Midnight Madness. But I just called just to confirm, and they're like, no, we're not doing that. So I was like, whatever. So, luckily I had a bunch of vacation time to burn, so I head off like Friday, and I have off for a while. So, I just got up at 10 o'clock in the morning to go to the mall, and I was thinking I'll just waltz right in there at 10 o'clock and just pick up my game and leave, since, you know, apparently it's not that popular. But there's this entire ridiculously long, huge nerd line sitting outside of GameStop, so I didn't get my game till like 11:15. It kind of sucked.
Eric, you're a nerd.
Life's hard.
Whatever. Why does it stand in line for, like, ever?
My launch story is so much better than yours. I pre-ordered it, like, 3 or 4 months ago on Amazon, and I got it about 11:30 a.m. and tried to play it. The end. See, I told you it was better.
Chez?
Well, they had a Midnight Madness where I'm from, and there was probably about 300 people there. And what they did was it was
Seriously?
Through, oh yeah,
holy cow!
And it was through EB Games, and what they did was they gave out tickets. So when people get there, there wasn't fighting about who was in line and this and that. So pretty much what we had to do was we had to go there, stand in line to get a ticket to later on stand in line. That was kind of annoying. Luckily, when we got there, they had two lines. They had A and B. I got 12th. So I was kind of right up there. I got there around 6 o'clock. I picked up the ticket and then left. And then I figured I'd come back later around like 11:30 and then just cut everybody in line because I had my ticket. So there was a fight that did break out over I don't know what. I didn't really pay too much attention. It was more people on the back. And then the rent-a-cops threw them out. So they didn't get their version of Skyrim until I guess the next day.
Argonians are better. No, Khajiits are better.
Yeah.
Was this like a physical fight?
I didn't see too much of it. There was definitely a loud commotion, and then I saw the security guards tossing two people out.
Were they fat and sweaty?
Oh, yeah. They definitely looked like they belonged in the world of Skyrim. But other than that, it was it went by pretty smoothly. EB Games had it down pat pretty well. The lines pretty much moved quickly, at least for the first 12 people, because then I left. After that, it didn't really matter. But then I went home, I played it for about 12 hours, went to sleep, played it again. Went to sleep, and now here we are.
How long did you sleep the last time you went to sleep?
29 hours.
Holy cow.
Yeah, well, there's a little
That's not going to sleep. That's going to coma.
Well, no, somebody did try telling me that that's like a mini coma. It doesn't really matter. The reason why is because the night
it doesn't matter. Whatever, coma.
The night I went to pick up Skyrim.
Only pussies don't come out of comas.
See, the night I went to pick up Skyrim, I was only actually running on three hours of sleep because I work night shift, so my days were already kind of mixed up, and I didn't want to fall asleep and miss going there. So by the time I got Skyrim, I was only working on about 3 hours of sleep. Then there was no way I was going to go home with Skyrim and then just go to sleep, so I forced myself to stay up, drank a lot of Red Bull, played it for about 12 hours, so pretty much I was, before I went to sleep for the 29 hours, I was rolling on about 3 hours of sleep within a 48-hour span, so it kind of evened out just in two large chunks.
You seriously slept for 29 hours straight?
Yeah, I slept for my mom actually came in my room and made sure I was still alive a couple times.
Holy crap.
So you didn't wake up to, like, use the restroom or eat anything?
I woke up twice to take a piss, but other than that, I went back to bed.
Did you wake up, like, hungry as heck?
You know what? Not really. Surprisingly enough, not really. And I wasn't even really all that thirsty either. I woke up, I went downstairs, I had a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and
nice.
Went upstairs and then played Skyrim until I went and hung out with Jared.
I probably would have ate some Bagel Bites, but yeah, Cinnamon Toast Crunch is good.
That's disgusting, Darren.
Well, you know what? We were all out of Bagel Bites. We just had a huge Bagel Bite party the night before and just ate them all.
Nice. I guess we should have started this. Does anybody have an exciting launch story?
No.
I don't know. Sleeping for like 29 hours straight is pretty exciting.
Yeah, sleeping for 29 hours, that's an achievement.
I'll tell you, I felt extremely refreshed when I woke up. I felt fantastic.
Yeah, you did.
Wait, did you realize it was like another day has passed?
Yeah, I realized another day passed. It was kind of a little upsetting.
That would be upsetting. You like lost the whole day.
Did you grow a full beard in the time you were out?
No, not really. But I have off for the next 8 days, so if I had to like go to work the next day, it would have sucked even more. But for the fact that I still got some vacation time, I got more than a full week to play Skyrim. I'm not really worried about it too much.
Yeah, I called off 2 days in a row of work. That's my exciting story.
Wait, Jared, you guys live near each other, and he went and actually got Skyrim, but you didn't go and get it?
Well, you see, I live in a cool state. He doesn't.
Yeah, okay. He lives in Jersey.
Oh, okay. Here
which
we
isn't
go.
Even part of the United States. That's a fact. Read the Constitution.
That's what the Founding Fathers want.
Yeah, actually, I read that, and Jared, you're right.
I think Brian is being serious.
I've driven through Jersey before. You have to hold your breath.
Dirty Jersey. What? Sorry, did I just insult your hometown there?
Well, my hometown's actually Bloomsburg, but...
Ooh, Bloomsburg. I live in Bloomsburg.
Ooh, Devin's turned on.
Ooh. You're originally
ooh,
from Bloomsburg.
He named a place that I once lived.
I live there now.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, so let's talk about more Skyrim, less Bloomsburg.
I don't feel short anymore in Skyrim, which is awesome. I don't know if I talked about this before on the podcast. I'm pretty sure I did. But, you know, in Oblivion, I always felt like my character was too short. I always had to, like, I always found myself, like, jumping on rocks and stuff like that to get a vantage point so I could feel like I could see more of the world and stuff. I don't feel that in Skyrim anymore. Does anybody else feel that way?
No. Derek, that was weird.
All right. It feels like my character is actually, like, you know, 5 or 6 feet tall as opposed to, like, 2 feet.
Like on the ground or something.
Yeah.
Like you were just staring at the ground the whole time? Are you sure it wasn't that?
Are you sure we weren't crouching the whole time?
Oh, you could have been.
So anyway, what were your initial impressions when you first started up Skyrim? What did you think of it? Is what I'm asking.
The whole time I was thinking I'm going to beat the main quest before everybody else.
I'm sure you did.
I would have beat the main quest before you, but mine didn't work.
This isn't a competition, no, guys. What the heck?
I don't think any of us care who beat the
okay,
main.
Brian apparently does.
I do. Just for argument's sake, I was the first to beat the main quest.
Yeah, but that's arguing about something no one cares about. That's like...
Yeah, I care about it.
I use at least Q-tips to clean my ears. How do you feel about
well,
that?
That's not true. Baggots? I love cleaning my ears.
What I like the best, what stands out to me a little bit different than the other games, is right off the bat, not right off the bat, but once after the dragon first attacks, you kind of have a choice as to which path you want to go. At least it seemed that way to me, as you could either follow the Imperial or whatever that guy's name was.
Yeah, kind of.
Because you have a chance. You have a chance to follow one or the other. Because the Imperial runs into the tower, and the Rebel runs into like a back room. And then once you...
I never noticed that. You actually have a choice.
Have a choice. Right in the beginning, you have a choice. You can choose which way you want to go. And now, obviously, I haven't played... I didn't like restart and chose the other path, but my impression was, because right when you join me personally, I went with the Imperial right off the bat, and you immediately on your way out, you would fight a whole bunch of Rebels. Now, I'd imagine if you joined the Rebels, you would probably fight Imperials on your way out.
I can actually confirm that for you.
That's okay. Well, then that's the case. So my
confirmed.
First
it's actually better, kind of better if you join the Rebels at first, because you get better gear and you get to sell it for a bit more. So you have a little bit upper hand with starting gear, but other than that, it doesn't really matter.
Which, just because it's kind of a pet peeve of mine, the Rebels, what are they called? Isn't it Shadow something?
Stormcloaks.
Shadow something was close. Yeah, the Stormcloaks. So that was the first thing I kind of liked. It was just, again, because obviously I didn't start over and do it, but it was under my impression that you immediately got a choice as to where you wanted to go and kind of where the storyline would take you. I'd imagine, you know, obviously the main quest is going to all merge into the same, but as you can tell, if you look through a little bit of the game, you'll be able to see that certain points that you get to take over, some might be for the Imperials or some might be for...
I never even noticed that. I had no idea at the beginning that you could do that.
There's a civil war going on, and you actually get to choose your side.
Well, no, I know that. I didn't know you actually get to choose
your side,
though.
Yeah, it's kind of quick, because as you're running away, I mean, obviously you have the dragon overhead. As you're running away, it kind of quick tells you follow this guy or this guy.
I didn't even know. Like, I just immediately ran into the tower, yeah. I guess, following the Rebels.
Well, you followed the Rebels?
I guess. I ran right into that tower.
The tower is the Rebels? That's the Imperials, right?
The tower, I believe, is the Imperials. Because you're following the Imperial
the
from the beginning.
The thing is, when you run in there, you first see... the main guy that they call Erlek or whatever of the storm.
Then you ran with the Rebels then.
But then I ended up with an Imperial.
Right. Yeah. When the dragon first strikes, you run into that big tower with the Stormcloak guy. Then you jump out the tower into the inn. Then you meet the Imperial guy, and a little bit farther on, they meet each other, and they have a little verbal quick debate. And I hope this dragon takes you all to Sarvengard, or he says something gay like that.
Right, and then the Imperial leads you out.
And the Imperial lead you out, but you can also follow the Rebel at that point, too.
Oh, I didn't even
I just
know that.
Thought you had to go with him. Like no. You had to go into that area, or you were going, like, underground or whatever.
Because I'm so used to, like, in the previous two Elder Scrolls, like, in Morrowind, you didn't spend that much time going through a tutorial stage, but in Oblivion, you had to go through that whole stupid sewer thing, and you were, like, stuck on that, and it's very linear and stuff, so that was, I just kind of expected that. I thought that's exactly how it was going to be, but I'll have to go back and play that again to see that.
You know, I do like how it wasn't as drawn out. You know, you just ride in your carriage or in the horse carriage there for a minute, and then you figure out who you're going to be, and then off you go. You know, there's not
I did think that was one of the coolest openings for a...
I like that, but what I didn't like in, like, when I played Oblivion, you had that option at the end of the sewers to change your entire character.
I would normally save there.
Yeah, that's what I save there, and that would be I'd always start from that point so I can go through a stupid, retarded intro every time, but if I want to change different characters or try again as a different race, then I have to go through that whole intro again, which realistically wasn't all that long, but still is a bit annoying.
If I remember correctly, at least on my Xbox, I think they make an automatic save for you there.
No, yeah, but if you load it, you will be whatever you chose.
What game are we talking about?
Oblivion?
Skyrim.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. It's Skyrim.
Okay. No, I don't know which one you guys were referring to.
Brian, did you roll two characters then?
I did. I rolled a couple different characters, but I rolled a Khajiit, actually.
Yeah, let's talk about that. What did everyone roll? What did you roll, and like what style kind of class are you playing as?
Well, I'll go first because Derek's gonna have a field day with this one. I actually rolled a Nord.
How dare you?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not done yet. But I ended up, it's just my main character was a Nord, because he looked cool. I made him, like, blind, and I used the war tattoos to make it look like his eyes were, like, burned out, the war paint thing. But,
What?
Oh, you're so tough, Brian.
Whatever.
You're so video game tough.
Long story short, so I was like a blind mage.
That doesn't make any sense. You're not walking around working on sneak and sniping people with a bow and arrow?
Yeah, exactly.
Who are you?
I mean, I have a bow and arrow, but I only keep a sword around just in case I actually run out of mana.
You know Nords aren't good with magic.
Yeah, I'm fully aware of that. But it just ended up being my main character and the only save file that worked for a while. And then next thing I know, I'm like, wow, magic is actually a lot of fun.
Are you dual casting magic or are you using
Oh yeah, definitely dual casting.
Cool.
That's the only way you fight? Just magic?
Pretty much. Not the only way. I mean, when I ran out of mana, I switched to dual wielding, usually a sword and an axe. So basically, my loadout, my general philosophy was shoot him with the arrow once, charge him with, or not charge him, but hit him with magic until he got way too close or I was out of mana, and then switch to melee. But it ended up being a lot more magic, and I enjoyed magic, using magic a lot more than anything else.
Well, Derek, before we get into how awesome magic is, Derek, what'd you roll?
Well, first off, I want to put it out there. I don't give a crap about character creation and stuff like that. It doesn't really matter, really. I mean, like, you get racial buffs and stuff. Like, that's all fine. That's the only reason I, like, picked Dark Elf. I mean, like, I like elves and stuff like that. Like, in pretty much any game, I think elves are cool and I like, I don't know, whatever. It sounds gay, but I just like elves. So it was pretty much up to either High Elf or Dark Elf for me. And the only reason I picked Dark Elf was because in Oblivion, I was a High Elf. And I just wanted to do something different in Skyrim. And they have that that fire thing. Like, 50% of... they resist 50% of fire. Yeah, that's it. So, that's the only reason I picked that.
Hey, Derek?
Yeah?
You're wrong.
Why?
It matters.
I know it matters, but, like, it doesn't matter to me.
First of all, it's cool to choose your race and customize your character.
I get that. I mean, but, like, I was looking through it, like, because, like, usually I sometimes in games like this where I know I'm going to be putting a lot of time into it, I like to pick a female character just to have, so it doesn't look like I'm...
Sexual satisfaction.
Yes, exactly, sure. But all the chick characters look ugly as crap, so I just picked a dude.
I can't jack off to this.
I don't know. It's just, I was looking through, like, I spent, like, less than 2 minutes customizing my character. Because I was just, like, looking through, like, the war paint, and I was like, none of these look good.
I'm actually with you there, Derek. I didn't spend much more than 2 to 3 minutes on my character, too.
So I was just like, I guess I'll go with this hair. Because you put helmets and stuff on anyways, you don't really see that junk that much.
Not if you're a mage.
And I don't play third person anyway, so...
Play a mage right, son.
Oh, give me a break. I'll teach you to mage.
They wear cloth.
I wear plate. Whatever, dude.
You wear plate? Oh, that makes sense. A mage wearing plate.
Yeah, man.
No, I spent more than 2 minutes. I didn't spend, probably more than 10 minutes. But I definitely, because I like to see the options I have, at least. You know what I mean? I'm not the type
Absolutely.
Of person. I don't choose preset options because, you know, if I was the type of person where I'm just going to choose a preset option, then I would be more or less not inclined to even make anybody. Like, I wouldn't care, kind of like him. But it's not so much that I care, it's just the options there to do it, and I think it's just a neat little feature to do, and I think it's worth it, you know? Because at the same time, sometimes helmets, I understand where you're coming from with the helmets, and unless you get one that gives you a really good perk, sometimes I roll without them, you know what I mean? Because, like, the armor rating doesn't really add all that much, I think. And, I mean, the war paint was kind of cool. I think the choices you had were all pretty lame. There was, like, only two of them that I thought were pretty neat. But I like the idea of customizing, you know, the people. I probably took about 10 minutes to figure my guy out. I chose an Imperial because, you know, I just like to rep my race. And I kind of went with a tank. You know, I kind of do that with Diablo. I've kind of always rolled with, you know, like the heavy armor, two-handed sword. And
we found our tank for Diablo 3.
Nice.
Yay.
Wait, I thought you were going to be our tank, Devin.
I told you I didn't want to be a tank.
Whatever.
Oh, that's right. So we're getting rid of Devin and Chez can play with us.
Yeah.
I kind of regretted it, though, making the tank. I mean, I think it would be... And it's not that that's not a good character to build or play. It's just once I realized how awesome the magic is, me and Jared kind of discussed this already, it kind of sucked because, you know, being an Imperial and a tank, you're not going to really be able to focus as much on magic. And I'm still sticking with the Imperial tank form until I'm going to create multiple different characters and play this game over and over again. But the magic is really awesome, and I think it would be beneficial for people to kind of incorporate at least a mix if they wanted to do that. But the magic is, in comparison to Oblivion, just it's not even comparable.
Absolutely. Like, I rolled a Khajiit, Because my typical thing is I do like elves too, and I usually roll like an elf character. But I ended up rolling a Khajiit because I thought like I was going to play more of like an archer rogue type of style. But then I actually got to play around with the magic, and I thought it was awesome. And I wanted to re-roll and look, because you can make dark elves in this game look positively evil, and it looks awesome. So I re-rolled as a dark elf with cool war paint where it looks like there's blood coming out of my eyes, and I have long hair that looks disgusting, and I look like I would murder your child. It's awesome. I should be in like a death metal video.
Oh, I'll send a picture.
And
did you put any scars on there?
Heck yeah, I put scars on my face.
How long did it take you to do your character, Jared?
Well, my Khajiit, I don't know, each one I'd say at least around 20 minutes. I spend a lot of time, like, I don't sit there and, like, adjust the nose height or bother with, like, the chin size or anything like that. I don't care that much.
I bet you do a little bit.
You know, very little. It depends, like, because there is a huge, subtle, it's a subtle difference, but it's a huge difference when you change, you know, how high the eyes are, how low they are, or the, you know, how deep the nose is or wide the nose is, you know, different things like that make a huge difference. Visually, you may not realize it, but when you start messing around with it and actually looking at it, it can make the big difference between your character looking really evil or really happy, really nice, you know, whatever.
Right. Well, my thing is I'm going to be playing this guy for, you know, probably 20, 30 hours. I might as well put some time in it to make it look good. At least so I can.
Yeah,
enjoy it.
I mean, exactly. The thing is, with my elf, he's going to be a mage, primarily a mage, sort of a battle mage, but mostly heavier on the mage side of things. And because of that, I just want him to look cool. You know, a Khajiit might look fine as a rogue or, you know, using a bow and things like that, but he doesn't look cool wearing robes and a hood and stuff like that. But a dark elf does. And yeah, I'm not playing in third person. But when I do see my, like, when I get a new piece of gear, I want to see it on my character. It's fun seeing it on your character, I think.
Well, another thing with the third person, I think I like the idea in Oblivion, but it was horrible gameplay to play third person. I still would probably prefer first person in Skyrim, but third person is definitely playable now. I think, I don't really know how to explain it or what they did. Third person just seems more playable. It seems like it's something that, you know,
seems like an option now.
Right.
Not something I would play personally. I know, Brian, you like playing third person. Are you playing in third?
Yeah. Not a lot. I mean, I switch back and forth a lot, and it really pisses off anyone that actually watches me play, but it works for me. Like, I'll actually sometimes switch in the middle of battle, depending on what I'm doing. When I go to melee combat, I usually switch out because it looks cooler and looks better. And it plays better. I think it plays a little bit better in third person. It sounds weird, but magic and like shooting and stuff is a bit more difficult unless you're in first.
Well, I think also looking around and trying to find, like me, I'm a rat pack. You know, I'll pick up anything that's laying around. And I think in third person it's kind of harder because, you know, you might run by that something that you might want to pick up. You know, when you're in first person, it zooms in a little bit more. And you're able to see things better than in third person, especially if it's, you know, a darker area or whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, third person's playable, but it doesn't seem, I don't know, it doesn't seem a good option for most of the stuff that you want to do in the world. Oh, Devin, I completely forgot to ask you, what did you roll, jerk?
I rolled an Argonian.
That's exciting.
What's it like being a lizard man?
I think when I saw it at first, I was like, well, that's definitely what I'm going to be. And I think that's kind of why I didn't do much of the customization stuff, because everything that I changed with like the original guy kind of made it look kind of dumb. I mean, I put a few things. I put some scars on me and stuff, but most of the things that you could change with my character made it look like a retard. I put some horns on me though. It looked pretty cool. But yeah, I have a helmet on, so I can't see those anymore. But I like being a lizard.
What are you what are you playing as, like, class wise?
I guess a battle mage would be the best way to describe it. I do like to use magic a lot, but I don't want to dual wield magic, really. I like to also have the close hand-to-hand combat with swords.
You can do
stuff.
A lot more damage, though, if you're dual wielding magic. I think it's, like, it's pretty,
Yeah, there's that destruction perk, where if you combine them both together at the same time, you do a...
Yeah.
It looks kind of like he's doing a Kamehameha or something. I like, just want to like shout Hadouken when I'm shooting a fireball at someone.
I put all my perks into destruction pretty much so far. Well, destruction, a little bit of restoration. And for the most part, I mean, I'm only like level 12 or something like that so far. Like, I mostly just throw a fireball and then spam flames. And that's, I do it dual wielding. And if you launch a fireball with both hands, I don't really know how to put it. I guess that's the best way to put it. It does a lot of damage right off the bat. And then flames is just ridiculous. You just sit there and nuke someone forever.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very powerful to me. I have flames too, but they don't really kill people that fast.
Well, no. I mean, if you're, like, you're fighting a dragon and stuff, I mean, of course you're going to need to sidestep his breath and stuff like that. But if you just stand back and nuke somebody with flames. But I
run out of
mana
too fast, though.
The hardest thing I've fought so far would be, or like on a regular basis, is a bear or an ice troll or something. And the dual wielding flames with my perk seems to take them out pretty easily.
Not really a frost troll unless you're... Like, what level are you fighting frost trolls at?
7.
Oh, frost trolls are so hard.
Yeah, they were hard. That and giants were hard at low level.
The giants were difficult. I don't think they were.
Yeah, I didn't run into it. The first frost troll I saw going up to the Greybeards, which... Yeah. I'm not spoiling anything, but there's one part where you have to go up this mountain, and there's a frost troll there. And everyone I've talked... Okay, not everyone, but a couple people I talked to have brought up issues with, like, frost trolls. I don't know. Have any of you guys had troubles? I know Devin obviously has, but...
I definitely did. Like, whenever I first saw him, I actually strayed off the path a little bit. So I guess it was a glitch or something that I found, but I was standing on, like, one of the, like, kind of a pretty high rock or whatever, and I found out that if I... Because I ran into him the first time, and he killed me pretty quickly, so the second time I went up there, I was sneaking around and shot him with a couple arrows, and then I realized he wasn't coming after me, so I just kind of kept shooting him with arrows.
You killed him that way? Because his health was regenerating pretty quickly.
Yeah,
his health was
regenerating pretty fast. I didn't kill him that way, but I got him down to about half of his health before I ran out of arrows, and then just ran at him and finished him with flames, but that's how I killed him.
Well, the thing with the frost troll, like, once you start hurting it, it starts regenerating health. So they start regenerating health fast, and the best thing to use is any type of fire against them, because that's what they're
weak to. Fire versus frost, that makes sense, buddy.
Well, Derek, I read it in a loading screen.
Well, I used my most powerful spell, Frostbite, and it seemed to kill him.
You use frost on frost, Brian?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go, Derek. Frost on frost. That's like fighting fire with fire.
There's this one point that...
But it's
this
frost.
Is something else I want to bring up. Do you find a lot of fights are, compared to Oblivion, a lot of fights are pretty difficult in Skyrim?
Yeah, I like that, though.
I like it, too. But, like, in Skyrim, I could probably count the amount of times I died going through the main quest, like, on both my hands. And in Skyrim, I've died a lot.
Well, I think Oblivion was pretty easy, too, personally. I mean, the game was great, but in comparison to Skyrim, Oblivion was just, you could run through it. And then if you have that mindset where you're just going to run through it, when you start playing Skyrim, you're going to run through it and you're going to run into a giant and he's going to kill you in one swing.
Oblivion was absolutely a cakewalk because everything leveled to your level. I mean, sometimes something would be a level or two above or below you, but mostly everything leveled to your level. So it was super easy. Throughout the whole game. Like, Oblivion, the only time I ever died is when I was just being stupid, really. For the most part, it was a walk through, a complete cakewalk. But the thing I love about Skyrim is I'm actually dying. I'm actually having a hard time getting past stuff. And not everything's the same level, so it's not this, you know, I'm not fighting a mud crab that's as hard as, like, a frost giant or frost troll or something.
Because I don't... If I say a word and you don't know what it is, then stop me. But do you guys know what Dragonrend is?
Nope.
Nope.
Alright, never mind.
Do you guys know what the voice is?
Do you guys know what Dragonborn is? So let's talk a little bit about the mechanics. Obviously, I think we can all agree that visually Skyrim looks
fantastic.
Fantastic. It's above and beyond what Oblivion was. I mean,
well,
Oblivion,
except for me. I think Oblivion was better.
How?
Yeah. What's wrong with you, Brian?
The lines through my screen and all the...
That doesn't count.
Okay, weird glitches and broken Xboxes notwithstanding. Skyrim is I mean, it's certainly not the best looking game on current consoles and
I was
whatnot.
Expecting more.
It looks pretty good on the PC.
I don't know, I think it's pretty dang good.
I mean, on the 360, when you get up close to some textures, Some of it, that's where it kind of loses its some of its niceness. But the character models are one of the big things that have been improved so much.
Oh, they're great.
I think they did really good with some armor, too. Like, in Oblivion, some of the armor looked kind of cool, but it was nothing I was really proud of. You know what I mean? I mean, like, this is kind of weird to say, but, like, in WoW, a lot of the armor looked pretty cool, and I remember, like, getting a new piece and stuff and, like, taking screenshots because I was like, oh, this is awesome. But, like, in Oblivion, I never really had that feeling where, like, oh, this really looks cool. But in Skyrim, there's some armor that you come across in the main quest that looks pretty dope.
There's stuff I see in the loading screen, and I'm just like, oh, what is that? I want that. Like, you know how on the loading screen they have objects and stuff? Sometimes random armor or weapons will pop up, and I get excited.
Well,
I don't get excited.
During the entire loading screen, barely read what the thing was saying on the bottom and just screwed around with rotating the object and moving it around.
I always rotate the object and look at it.
Well, you guys were saying about, I think Chez was saying about you roll around with without a helmet and stuff on because, you know, you're looking at your character and whatever. And, there's a couple points in the main quest where you find really cool looking helmets, so I bet you start rolling with one of those.
You know, I'm sure. I wouldn't be surprised myself. You know, I mean, even simple armor that I've found, like even the elven armor, I think looks pretty awesome. You know, in comparison to, you know, if you look at the elven armor from Oblivion and in comparison to Skyrim, it's not the same. I mean, you can tell it's elven, but it's not the same. It just, the detail in it is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. There's in Oblivion, there really weren't that many armor sets that I was excited about. I mean, there only felt like there were maybe like four or five armor sets, really. And even then, like the best stuff wasn't even that great looking. The Daedric armor was kind of lame, and some of that other stuff.
Well, another little thing that I found that I like a lot. I'm a huge Fallout fan. I've always liked Fallout, and I like how with the lockpicking. The lockpicking is more of a Fallout based, you know, system where you're working with both of the joysticks.
I don't even understand how to lockpick. Someone should explain that to
what?
Me.
What?
It's the easiest concept.
I don't understand it at all. I mean, I tried it like a handful of times, and I was like, screw this. I just never pick locks.
You gotta be kidding me.
Well, I've never done any lockpicking. I don't remember doing it in Oblivion, too. I think the same thing happened with me there. I got frustrated with it, and I was like, whatever.
No, Oblivion was the crappy one.
Yeah, Oblivion kind of was horrible.
You had to hit the little lock up, and then when it got to the right spot, you had to click it in place.
Whenever I made a new game in Oblivion, I immediately went, I think it was Azura, and I got the skeleton key.
Yeah.
To where I could just keep
Azura
doing
was,
it.
That's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I did.
The star, Azura's star. It was the thief Daedric gun. I don't remember right now. The skeleton key, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I got that, too. I remember that now.
Okay, this is probably dumb, but have you guys ever actually tried to pick a lock in real life?
Nope.
Nope.
No. Okay, well, I have many times. It's kind of a hobby. Robbing people, you know, whatever. But
have you ever successfully picked a lock, Brian?
Yes, actually, I have.
Was it a combination lock? To a locker.
No. It was actually...
He just clipped it off.
It was a master lock. Like a little, like a high school gym or high school locker.
A high school lock. Got it.
What level was it?
You were in high school?
It was an adept lock.
I could just see Brian sitting out in front of his like apartment just tinkering with his own lock.
You're not too far from the truth there, actually.
Oh,
anyway.
Damn it!
Someone comes by, it's like, Brian, that's an electronic lock.
No, Brian, that's a window.
What I was trying to get at is comparing this to Oblivion, same as Fallout, feels a lot more realistic and probably about as far as realistic as you can get without overcomplicating the system.
Well, that's good. I mean, most things in Skyrim are realistic now, so.
Yeah, now that they've added dragons,
I mean,
it's pretty much realistic.
It was cool that, I'm glad they did that because it feels, you know, all you locksmiths out there. And, you know,
all you locksmiths looking for games out there, Skyrim's your game.
You know, you guys probably notice this too. It's like, wow, this feels like I'm actually breaking into someone's house. Or,
I bought
you know,
Skyrim for the lockpicking.
Skyrim is a lockpicking game with dragon fighting minigame.
And what I like about it too is even if you run across the master lock, you can still unlock it.
Yeah.
When in Oblivion, hard. You had to be a certain level and you weren't, you know, you just have to remember where it was or you just forget about it and that's it. It's obviously a lot harder, but.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a lot better.
But it's definitely you can do it. It's you know, especially I think I'm pretty good at doing it. And
oh, you're
when I run across master locks, it's great knowing that I can just open them, and I don't got to be a certain level.
So, moving on from that, have you guys tried out any of the new? There's alchemy and what do you even call those?
Crafting,
alchemy, smithing,
crafting stuff.
All cooking,
cooking. Have you guys
enchanting
done any of that stuff?
I did the cooking a little bit, and it's, you know, it's okay. It's not really something I would just sit around doing. You know, I wouldn't run around grabbing ingredients just so I know I can run home and cook them up. I mean, I'm sure depending on the type of you know, style of play, you might want to do that. It's certainly a neat feature. It's just not really something I would do. You know, I'm just the type of person, if I have enough, you know, potions, I'm good enough. You know what I mean? I don't really need too many different things to, you know, different ingredients. Because to me, it's kind of a hassle to run around and collect up certain things. Because one thing I don't like about this game is, I mean, I know I like how they give you 300 points of worth of space. But then after that, to upgrade it, you know, you can't really hold as much. And again, like for me, I'm a rat pack. So that's one of the downfalls for me. So I wouldn't really waste space picking stuff up to be able to bring it back to cook it.
The most I've done, I haven't done anything with cooking or alchemy or anything, but the most I've done was, if you talk to certain blacksmithers or whatever you call them, blacksmiths, I guess.
Blacksmithers.
They'll be like, I forget what you ask them, like, you have any work or something? They're just like, hey, why don't you make an iron dagger? This is what you need. And they kind of walk you through, like, it's like a tutorial, sort of. They kind of, yeah, did like you guys do that?
Yeah, I did that.
That's about the extent of what I've done. And sometimes I'll get a weapon, I'll take it to a grindstone, and I'll sharpen it. But I haven't done really anything else.
Yeah, well, as far as smithing goes, I did a lot of smithing. It was one of my main sources of income, besides, of course, looting dead people. But basically, anytime I found any animal, I'd go off and run and try to kill it for the leather. And then I'd tan the leather, and then I'd make a bunch of leather helmets. Because I think I figured that was the most cost-effective, highest value for the stuff used. So I just make a bunch of that, and then sell them all.
I think it's pretty awesome that this game even incorporates something like that. Because obviously Oblivion, it wasn't even close to touching this. You can go hunt an animal, turn it into a helmet, and then sell it for gold or use it yourself. I think that's an awesome feature.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly has an MMO feel to it. But it's still awesome because, like, they did have alchemy and they had cooking and stuff like that in Oblivion. But it certainly wasn't as deep, or at least it doesn't seem as deep.
Well, they didn't have cooking in Oblivion, I don't think, but
okay, they didn't have cooking in Oblivion. They had alchemy. I don't know what else they had.
What is cool, though, I don't know if you guys actually looked at the skill trees in depth at all, the star map?
A little bit.
But in smithing, you have the ability to sharpen it above and beyond just fine. You can actually, like, really, really sharpen it. Like, it gets better and better. You can, like, increase the level of your blade.
Well, that would be like if in Oblivion you can, if you became a master in armor, you could bring it above and beyond 100%.
Right. Yep.
So I can see how that's been incorporated. I do like the tree system, though. I think that's a pretty awesome feature. Also,
let's talk about that. What do you guys think of what do you guys think of the overall level up system?
Constellations.
And
constellations.
Hi. Do you guys like constellations?
I love constellations. It looks so pretty. Every single time I go into it, it's so pretty.
Well, for better or worse, I mean, I'm sure you guys realize this, but I did the math, and I think it's like your max level if you get 100 of every single ability. Your level max is like 70.
Did you have someone check that math?
No.
How in the world did you figure that out to begin with?
The calculator.
I think I figured out how many skills it takes for me to level up, and then went from there. But, I mean, it's roughly 70, but there's over 200 perks, so you can't get everything. So you have to kind of choose your role. Like in Oblivion, I mean, I was just the be-all, end-all of everything.
Do you guys like this new leveling system? Obviously, it's a lot different than it was in Oblivion or Morrowind or any of the previous ones. Do you like... Because it's very much simplified in the sense that when you level up, you either choose to level up your magicka, your health, or your stamina, and then you choose a perk. Do you guys like that better, or is it worse?
I like it. I do. I just wish that they would have incorporated the ability to get a bit more perks. But on the other side of the coin is, it does make you actually choose a specialty.
Well, it's definitely been simplified, just being able to choose those three, because when you level up in Oblivion, you'd have a choice to level up three of any of the things you had selected in your major things. You know, and like me, the major things I like is health, and I like being able to carry more things, which obviously now I have to choose one or the other. When in Oblivion, you could do both in the same level. And, you know, to choose stamina to only have your weight go up by 5 almost doesn't seem worth it, you know, because 5 pounds is nothing. You know, it's 2 daggers. You know what I mean? It's like, it almost doesn't seem worth it, but at the same time, you have to do it if you're going to be someone like me who picks everything up. Because the way I make money is I'll go to different camps and I'll kill everybody in there and then I'll take all their stuff. Even if I have to fast travel and make 2 trips, you know, just to make that money. That's usually the way I do it.
You could just, you know, stop doing that because that doesn't seem like a lot of fun.
You could just stop.
I don't get that. I mean, like, whenever you go into a dungeon, do you, like, sit there and pick up, like, all the cups and baskets and stuff like that?
No, no, I'm not picking up all the cups. No, I need
all these cups.
I'll usually aim for the armor or weapons. That's about
it. This house in Oblivion is just full of cups.
What are all these cups doing here?
Give me these fucking cups, man.
Get these cups out of here. I think I got a glitch. They have a value, only like a value of like 1 gold, but I got 1 billion cups.
I gotta go to Riverwood Trader. I gotta buy more cups.
You just run slow the whole entire game with 1 billion cups.
Speaking of that, I don't think there's a way to actually grab an item in this game.
Yes, sure.
You hold down A.
Yep, you hold down A. Because I watched this thing on YouTube where this guy picked up this basket and put it over the NPC's head. You guys see this?
No. Yes.
He was like, he wanted to steal a bunch of stuff, which this is probably good for you. But he picked up this basket and somehow he turned it around, which I don't remember doing that in Oblivion, but whatever. He picked up this basket and put it over the NPC's head, then started stealing a bunch of stuff. It was pretty neat.
Did it actually work?
Yeah.
The NPC just sat there and took it like a man.
He had a basket on his head. What was he going to do?
What was he going to do? The basket on his head. Couldn't take it off.
The best thing is, like, if you think about this in any real context, like, if you just walk in and you're slowly moving this basket around in your hands and then slowly sitting on top of someone's head and then walking around their store just grabbing stuff and they're just standing there with a basket on their head.
Okay, it's only slightly less... It's only as realistic as the other one where you basically just grab the item, drag it away to a part where you're hidden, then steal it, and then go back and do it again and again and again.
Well, that's not entirely true because in Oblivion, if you're inside a store and you pick something up, they immediately think you're stealing it and they'll attack you or they'll at least
report
you.
Oh, that's right. No, I'm thinking of Fallout New Vegas.
Right. I mean, in this game, at least for me anyway, the merchants are a lot more aware. They're not so stupid. Like, you can't just, like, hide behind them or hide behind a certain spot where they can't see you. I mean, they're a little bit more intelligent. It makes, you know, if you want to go in there and you want to loot the whole place, it makes it a little bit more difficult to do because they're not...
But all the more fun.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, absolutely. It's definitely more fun. It's not that it's irritating or anything, but they're definitely more intelligent, you know, or if you go into something that's locked and they see you,
yeah,
they'll just immediately start attacking you. They, you know, it's not like they're going to say, hey, get out. You know, they're going to start attacking you right away.
Well, that's exactly what happened to me. It was late at night and I was in a village. I think it was Riverwood. And I lockpicked to get into this one house and I went in there and I didn't know that there was anybody around. And some guard came in like right after me. He was like, hey, what are you doing in here? And I got a little prompt to like choose like why I was there. And this is the point in time where I chose to be the Thane of that area. So I guess it wasn't Riverwood. It was a Whiterun. And I was like, I'm the Thane. You can't tell me what to do.
Riverwood's still...
Yeah, Riverwood's still in that province.
Oh, okay. Either way, I was like, I'm the Thane. You can't tell me what to do, whatever. Like, I'm allowed to be here. And he's like, okay, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't realize it was you. And he walked away. So I thought that was pretty cool.
I do like that option, too. I think that's pretty neat.
Or else I would have to pay him.
I also like how if you go to the inns, a lot of... You know, because, like, in Oblivion... It's fun running around talking to certain people, learning different quests, you know, asking for rumors and whatnot. You know, it depends on the type of person that you are. You know, some people may say it's a little bit lazier, but if you go into an inn and you just talk to the bartender, they usually have, you know, three or four different quests that they can give you right away.
Or like a lot of rumors or something like that.
Right. Now, some people obviously might like that because it's convenient. They know right where to go to, you know, find the next bounty or whatever the case may be. That you can still find other quests and things through talking to people, but you definitely have a definite place you can go once you enter a city to start getting certain quests for that area, which I think is pretty cool.
Semi-realistic to that point, because bartender, at least in that kind of time period, would know what's going on because he's the, you know, person that everyone talks to.
Were you able to get sent to jail in Oblivion?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if that was
Oblivion. You could pick the lock and get out, too.
Yeah, but the problem with doing that, I did whatever I could to avoid going to jail because you lose skills, like you atrophy in jail.
I play completely different than what you guys play. I mean, I guess we already talked about this a little bit, but I don't do any of that stuff.
You're a nice boy. You're a good boy.
Yeah, I don't like fuck with the guards or any of the NPCs or anything like that. I don't kill anybody that I don't need to. I just went through the main quest.
So in other words, you're boring.
Well, speaking of moving things, one thing that I really like, I don't know if you guys noticed, I already got a house. And inside the house, because like in Oblivion, I loved setting up my room. I loved being able to move stuff around. One thing that I found that was really awesome was their stands for your weapons. And if you have it equipped and you click on it, it'll put it in there nicely. Or there's a few things on the wall. There's plaques on the wall that you can put certain weapons on and display weapons or armor, which I think is really awesome. Because, I mean, obviously in Oblivion you could do it, but it could be hard, or you'd spend a lot of time and get frustrated because it wouldn't sit the right way or it'd fall off.
And then what would happen, I don't know if this happened to you guys, but what would happen if you closed the lid for the display, everything would glitch out and shoot out of it, and then you're like, son of a bleep, I just spent an hour setting that thing in there, and now it's...
You know, like in Oblivion had the right idea, but Skyrim, I think, perfected it in the fact that you can now actually click on the items and set things in there. I think that's really awesome. Another thing I like, it's kind of a little off topic, but I don't really use a shield too much. But in the beginning, when I was messing around with the shield, I like how you can bash with it. I think that's a cool little perk that they put in there. And I also like when you're fighting an enemy and they're using a shield and you go to hit them, you can really see the shield there. You know what I mean? Like in Oblivion, the shield's just kind of there and it makes the clanging noise and that's as far as it goes. But in this game, whether you're defending yourself or the enemy's defending themselves, if they have a shield and you go to hit, you can almost even see it in the way your weapon reacts when you hit the shield.
Like it bounces off a little bit.
Not even the sound. I mean, the sound, yeah, for sure. But even just the way when your shield comes, if you swing a sword at somebody and you hit them, you'll see that it hits them. You'll see the blood and they'll and whatever. But if they have the shield, if they go to defend and you swing the sword down and it hits the shield, it stops halfway. Like it's not Oblivion-y.
Yeah, in Oblivion, like I think the combat in Skyrim, it's not perfect, but I think it's so much better because. In Oblivion, it's kind of just like you just swipe your
like sticks
sword.
Almost.
Yeah, you're just
stick
swiping
figures.
Back and forth. It's like you're hitting them with Jell-O or something. I don't know. It's just going back and forth, and it's sliding over their body. There's no reaction. In Skyrim, you hit someone, and they'll sometimes fall back or they'll fall down, and they'll react, you know, more naturally to it. And you actually feel like there's weight behind the weapon you're swinging.
Absolutely,
to some extent. Yeah, yeah.
I also love the whether it's sometimes I don't know if you can do it at a certain time or if it just does it every now and again, but like the little side movies where you'll stab them and pick them up and throw them down.
Yeah, do you guys like that? Do you find that annoying at all?
I think it's kind of cool. I like it only because there's certain times, like if you've got four or five bandits running at you and you really don't feel like dealing with all of them, you know, one or two of them you can quick take out.
I kind of like it, but my problem is. Like, even, that's something they kind of took from, you're talking about, like, when you kill someone with, like, one shot and does, like, the Fallout style.
It gives you a scene, it pulls away and gives you a scene of you stabbing them or something.
I kind of like that, but at the same time, it kind of took that from Fallout. I kind of like that, but it kind of almost takes me out of it for a minute. I know that sounds weird, but there's this thing where it, like, lingers, like, as the person's dying and you're just, like, staring at this and you gotta, like, mash A or whatever to get back to the actual, like, first person again.
That doesn't happen for me.
It's something...
I wish they would have added that you could turn it off.
Well, it doesn't happen that frequently, but...
Yeah, it's not
I think
often.
Sometimes whenever you kill a dragon, though, whenever you, like, jump on its on its head and, like, shove your sword through its mouth or something. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, some of it's cool. Like, if you run up and you just, like, stab someone in the stomach and then rip it out, that's really cool when it cuts back real quick. But sometimes, like, I'll hit someone in the face with a mace. Didn't mean to make that rhyme, but I sounded real cool doing it. Then they'll fall to the ground, and my guy will just stand there for a few seconds, like, looking at him. And, like, that's really...
Your face got all maced up.
Yeah. I feel like that got mace in their face.
Well, I don't really see how that takes you out of the game, but, like, so many times in combat, you have to switch... You have to, like,
Derek,
go to your favorites and switch your, like, weapons or spells and stuff. That breaks gameplay a lot more than the 2 seconds it takes to stare at somebody in the face.
It's way... That doesn't bother me as much.
Well, you know you can favorite things, too, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, you switch... I favorite a lot of things. Like, I have a lot of shouts that are favorited and stuff like that.
I favorite almost everything.
I favorite everything but my clothing.
Yeah, everything but my armor, I favorite.
Well, pretty much, like, the further you get, like, in the you know, fighting bigger monsters and stuff, you gotta incorporate... You know, a lot of different aspects of the game, like archery and then like two-handed weapons and magic all in the same fight. So, like, I pretty much have a rhythm where I'll try to sneak and hit somebody with an arrow to get the double damage to start off with. And then you got to switch to magic until you're done with until your mana pool is done. And then you switch to a weapon for a while and stuff like that. So, you're constantly switching through your favorites, and that's breaking up the gameplay a lot.
I think the overall idea. Or the overall change of the interface in general is just better in Skyrim. Because if you think about it, remember in Oblivion, you had to, like...
Touch the D-pad.
And you only had a certain number that you could scroll through. Or you could hit B, and I think it was B, or did you hit start?
B.
B. And then you'd go in, and then it's like, okay, shuffle through all these pages and scroll down through, find what you want to do. It was just so crappy. And then now it's just very simple.
Well, this is better, for sure.
And
but
something you'll
still.
Like, Derek, is that Todd Howard said he took the idea of the Skyrim's interface in general from looking at the way Steve Jobs and Apple made their products.
Of course, because Apple's awesome.
Except they're not.
One thing that's kind of annoying, too, is in Oblivion, let's say you're in a dungeon and you have a torch, and you're holding the torch, and you're ready to go right into combat, you would just be able to hit X, pull out your weapon and start fighting, and then you could put it away and your torch would come back out, when in this you can't really do that.
Right. Torches don't last for dick either.
Right, and on top of that, they're okay. Weighted.
Yeah, they don't even last dick.
They don't even last a whole entire dick?
I think they weigh, what, a pound? So it's not like, you know, I remember in Oblivion I'd have like 100 of them, because they didn't weigh anything. But in this game they weigh something now.
They weigh that a dick.
Sucks. Yeah, they weigh a dick.
I think it's either illusion or alteration, I'm not sure which college it's from, but the candlelight spell is kind of cool.
Yeah, I just now got that too, and I wish I would have found that a long time ago.
I haven't got it. What's it do?
It's called the candlelight spell, and basically all you have to do is just cast it, and then a little light follows you around, and you can switch to like a different weapon or something. You don't have to keep your the candlelight equipped. At least I don't think you do. The only bad side is if you're trying to sneak around or something, then you I mean, you're going to get spotted a bit easier because there's light on you, of course. And or, you know, you could just do the lazy thing and turn the gamma up, turn the brightness up.
Well, at the same time, too, when it comes to that, I don't know. I mean, again, me, the type of character I am, I'll run in there and just start swinging. I haven't really focused too much on sneak or being stealthy, but it seems as if, you know, even when I try to, the enemy, you know, like whether they're in a cave or wherever, they're a lot smarter to where you're not going to be able to just sneak up behind them as easily, at least for my character.
Well, it's because you're wearing heavy armor, because I haven't had much problem with my hitting people with my bow and arrow.
Well, you're also at a distance with a bow and arrow, too, so, I mean, you can take your time and line up a headshot or something.
I don't know if a headshot actually makes a difference in this game.
I don't know either, but I always go for it.
Have you guys noticed, like, sometimes, like when I was when I first started playing, and you get your first companion, I accidentally shot him in the head with an arrow, and he was just running around with his arrow sticking through his head. And sometimes you're fighting people, and like if you get the very first companion that you can get in Riverwood, whatever his name is, Elfier's guy,
Phelan,
and he uses the bow a lot because he's mostly an archer, and if sometimes I'll be up close fighting an enemy, and he'll shoot them in the face or something, and the enemy's just running around with, like, 3 arrows in their face. It just looks hilarious.
Oh, I actually, the only companion I found was the house card or whatever the heck it is called. House Carl. Whatever the heck that is.
I don't do companions.
Now, it's definitely helpful to have, you know, an extra 300 pounds of carrying capacity.
So what do you guys think of the companions so far? I mean, they obviously this is something that they took from the Fallout games. I mean, you kind of had companions.
They're not very good at crossing rivers.
But actually, I thought the pathfinding was okay. At least better than in Fallout from what I've seen. I thought the pathfinding was pretty good.
They get stuck on everything,
though. They definitely
don't
sprint very well. I know that much for sure.
No, there's a lot of times I'll start fighting things, and once the fighting's done, I'll turn around and she'll just kind of start hobbling up like she just didn't get involved at all. Like I think Lydia's sometimes dumb. I think she is kind of dumb too.
Phelan has always been really good to me. He's a really sweet guy. He treats me right.
I like what she says is when you want to give her your stuff, make her carry stuff. She's like, "Well, I am sworn to bear your burdens." Like I'm so it's just like, damn it.
Yeah, when Phelan, he's just like, sure, what do you need? I'll help you out.
Which is weird, because, like, you did almost nothing for him. He's just, you're just like, come with me. He's like, all
right. Right. Yeah, she's a bitch.
I'm going to have to get Phelan now.
I wish you'd get multiple companions to come with you.
I got a dog.
A dog and a human?
Yeah, I got a companion. This actually just happened before I came over here. I forget exactly where on the map. He just kind of showed up. It's his name is Stray Dog, and he'll follow you with your companion, and he fights. You know, he was actually ripping it up against some of those wolves, but it's just a stray dog, and I don't know where I found him. I came out of one of these caves after doing one of these missions and got into a fight with a couple wolves, and all of a sudden I realized the dog was there, and he was following me. And when I clicked on him, you had the choice to tell him to either wait or I think it's like go home or something like that, but he does follow you, so I don't know. I know he wasn't. I found him in the wild. I know that for sure. But his name was Stray Dog, and I know he can follow you with a companion, so you'll have those two people following you.
So it's kind of like New Vegas.
Can companions die? Have you guys had your companion die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've killed them by accident.
Which is annoying.
There'd be a couple times I'd run in and I'd kind of see him just like laying there, like. Because I know when you're fighting the enemy, if you injure them, sometimes they'll kneel down and like it looks like.
Well, sometimes
just...
you can't help it. I mean, you're like casting, you're just shooting your fire they get in everywhere,
the way.
And
a lot of times they'll get right in the way. You know, I'll go to swing a sword and she just steps in front of me. But I have killed them by accident a couple
and
times.
Their death is permanent. It's not like they get knocked unconscious.
Their death is permanent when I killed them. I haven't seen an enemy kill them yet. Not that I'm saying that's not possible. I know when I killed him, it was permanent, but multiple times they've been like kind of knocked down to one knee, and then I would finish off the enemy. Because it seems like once they go to one knee, the enemies then turn on you. It doesn't really seem like they try to finish them, at least for me.
Yeah, my first character, I've actually had them both killed by the enemy.
They didn't drop to a knee at all?
They dropped to the knee, but then they got destroyed. Like, they still got killed. And then, because like later I just went and looted her body and took off all her clothes.
Yeah.
Okay. What the heck is wrong with us? You know what we haven't talked about, guys? The biggest improvement in the whole game.
Oh, by the way, before we switch subjects, I have a companion too, and it happens to be a dragon.
Exactly. That's what I was going to talk about. Dragons. We haven't even touched on dragons much. So we've all fought at least the first dragon. It isn't a spoiler to say that you fight a dragon.
There's dragons in this game.
There be dragons.
And the first dragon you fight with other people. But what'd you guys think of the first fight with the dragon?
I thought it was easy.
Yeah,
it was pretty easy.
Yeah, there's a lot of people there to help you.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. I mean, I thought it was awesome. It's not like any other fight you've been in, even in Skyrim. You know, whether you're looking at Oblivion, Morrowind, I mean, you're fighting a dragon. You know what I mean? It's definitely an awesome thing to do. It seemed like he was... You'd almost seem intimidated by it. You know, it seems like it's not as strong. I mean, obviously, if you raise the difficulty, I'm sure. But it just didn't really seem all that difficult.
At least not the first one.
I was pretty scared by him.
From what I understand, though, there's four different colors, and two of the colors are really easy. I think the white dragon and the bronze are the more difficult dragons, and they're the more rare ones to come across.
Well, bronze is an elder dragon.
Well, I fought green, and then there's another one. Green and I think brown, or green and something else. I know there's four different colors. Two of them are really strong to fight, and two of them are relatively easy.
Killing the dragons get easier the more of the voice you learn?
No. it's really hard to explain without giving you a spoiler or something, but I guess the best way I could put it is dragon fights have a completely new mechanic and aspect to it later in the game.
Okay.
And it makes it harder and it makes it easier. It just changes dragon fights a lot.
Okay.
That's cool, though.
Have you guys fought a lot? I mean, I'm sure Derek has, but have any of you guys fought dragons completely by yourself without a companion or anything?
Yeah.
No.
I fought two of them by myself.
Did you take them?
Yeah. I mean, both times, you know, you'd have to dive and do a potion or two, but realistically, it wasn't all that horrible because at the same time, at least to me, it kind of seems like they did the same thing. You know what I mean? In the way they fight, they don't really change up all too much.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a couple times too, you know, you would fast travel somewhere and all of a sudden you'd see a dragon fighting like a giant and a couple mammoths and you'd run in and they'd help you, you know, fight it and it'd be like super easy because but if you fight it by itself, it's definitely doable. It seems like if you were to look at the game or if you were to watch previews, it would almost seem overwhelming. I don't really think it is. But then again, like I said, I haven't fought the white dragon or the bronze yet, you know, so I don't know. But it seems like these weaker, lower end dragons don't really seem all that intimidating or tough to beat.
It gets pretty rough, and I think part of the reason it is rough is because we're still at like low levels and stuff. I mean, like by the time I was done with the main quest, I was at like level 11 or something like that. And so
that's
dragon
crazy.
Fights at that level is like get pretty intense. I mean, you said about you might have to dip into a potion, but there's some fights where I was in where I had to like chug like 5 potions. So
much for not talking about Skyrim the whole podcast.
Yeah, we gotta talk about something else.
I don't know. Do we have anything else to talk about?
Nope. Skyrim's awesome.
What about bad things? Anybody have any bad things? I don't really like the map personally.
I don't like the game.
I don't think the map's that bad.
The overall map is kind of sucky. I mean, I understand how they're going for the realistic thing, and like when there's clouds and stuff going on, I'd rather be able to zoom in way more.
Yeah, but you can also toggle to local map though too.
Yeah, I know, but it's just I like the realistic look of it. But I wish you could just zoom in onto like the realistic view.
I kind of like the Oblivion map more. Hubie,
I kind of like.
Wow, stop yawning.
I kind of like yawning. Stylistically, I do like the Skyrim map.
Stylistically?
Yeah, like the style of it. It looks nice. Like I like it from I like how it's more of a realistic view of like the mountains and the terrain and stuff like that. But but moving around the map isn't as fluid as it was in like Skyrim or in Oblivion or the Fallout games. I just feel like the way it handles. I mean, it's not that big of a gripe.
You have the mouse pointer too, right? On the 360 version?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just the way it handles, it kind of handles funny. Now, I don't know if anyone noticed this, but like if you try to move your right thumbstick around when you're just out and about in first person, it doesn't move smoothly for me. It kind of like, I mean, you should
because
probably...
you're bad.
I can't figure out how to move that right thumbstick around. It doesn't make much sense to me. It's kind of hard to explain unless you see it. But like sometimes if you're just moving around quickly and looking around, it doesn't follow your movements. Anybody run into that?
What? No.
Yeah, I'm not really sure I follow.
All right, forget it. I don't want to talk about it.
The biggest thing, I went 4 hours in the game complaining about this one thing that I didn't think you could do, and that was I didn't know you could jump in the game.
Are you serious?
Holy crap, that's a thing that you...
You didn't just experiment with the buttons.
I was
at all?
So mad. I thought this was so and that's the thing. I thought I pressed every button at the beginning of the game. I was like, you can't jump in this game. What the heck? I was so mad. I went for about 4.5 hours until I finally figured it out.
I wish I was there whenever you figured it out. Like, holy crap, you can jump.
Hold on. Wait a minute. It tells you to jump in the beginning of the game in the burning house.
Yeah, you have to jump.
You have to jump.
No, I didn't. I just fell out.
How'd you fall?
It tells you press Y to jump.
I didn't see that at all. I was up top and I just fell out into the next building.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, it does tell you to do that, but you don't have to do it. You can just fall.
Because I remember it looked really far for a jump, but it tells you to press jump, and when you do it, you can jump pretty far.
Yeah, it was all Mirror's Edge up in there.
One thing also, I'm sure you guys have all, I don't know if you've tried or not, waterfalls look awesome to go down, but you will not survive.
That was one of my favorite things in Oblivion.
Speaking of that,
finding waterfalls.
Have you guys tried to like go swimming in a river?
Yeah, it's not fun.
Actually, I think it's kind of cool because it almost is like fast travel. Like, or
not when there's slaughter fish.
Well, slaughter fish aren't the big deal. Also, it's when you have your companions too. They do horrible in rivers. You, at least for me, I mean Lydia's a retard anyway, but I try to work my way around them. If I want to cross a river, I want to just cross a river. You know what I mean? I understand they're trying to go with the whole realistic thing with the tides and the currents. The river will definitely pull you downstream if you let it. But if I want to cross a river, I just want to cross a river. You know what I mean? I don't want to have to deal with
I don't want
tides.
It to be all Oregon Trail up in here.
You can just shout across them, though.
Oregon Trail.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Why have we moved on from not berating Devin about not knowing how to jump?
I think that's
because he's the rocket king. He doesn't have a rocket launcher. He doesn't know how to jump.
I think that's over with, Jerry. We don't need to.
No, I think
on.
That's.
I don't think it is.
I think that's really important to point out that Devin doesn't know how to jump.
Let this forever be known that Devin Leon Miller does not know how to jump in Oblivion.
His middle name's Leon.
Devin, of all the things, like I thought you were going to say something that was, I don't know, weird. Like I didn't know you could quick save on the PC or something like that, but. No, you made it like I didn't know you could jump. I didn't know you could use.
I didn't know because the jump button
you can wear armor, right?
Is the Y button. The jump button is the Y button. Like seriously, that's the dumbest button to have. So yeah, there's a lot of places where I tried to get up to, and I was like, "Crap! Why would they not let you jump up to these places?" Like that seems so dumb.
Devin, are you sure you know how to play video games?
Oh, you don't know how to jump. Oh, you can't jump because you didn't get Collector's Edition.
You didn't get the pre-order bonus from GameStop. You're not allowed to jump. They took that out.
Oh, my gripe, by the way, is pretty much the same as at Oblivion, and I'm sure Brian and Jared are going to anticipate this, but I'm tired of walking everywhere.
Fast travel, then.
Yeah, I want a jet.
Well, you can fast travel, but if you haven't been to the place, then you can't, well...
Yeah, jerk, get a horse.
Horses don't seem like they go that fast anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, like, thank God for sprinting.
I don't know.
I'm really glad to have that.
I don't know if I want to listen to any of your opinions on how things work, because you could probably make the horses go quicker, but you're probably just like sitting on them.
I like the concept of walking. I can understand definitely.
I like the concept of walking. I love that statement.
I like the left foot then right foot.
I like that concept.
I like the idea of walking, especially in the beginning when it comes to, because I mean, number one, you got to look at the landscape
once.
That Skyrim built. Well, not that Skyrim built it, but Bethesda. It's amazing, and I love the idea of walking around, being able to pretty much, if you see it, you can go there. Granted, it would definitely get annoying, and I think after discovering enough locations, and once you, and also by walking around and fighting different things, you're going to level up. So once you discover enough locations and you're a high enough level, certainly fast travel is great, but I don't think walking around, at least for me anyway, is that big of a deal. I actually enjoy it when I'm a lower level to be able to find different things and look at the world and I like it personally.
Yeah. I like that make you do it at least once to walk to a certain place.
Like one of my favorite things when I talk about Oblivion is at the very beginning, once you get out of the sewers, when you first step out and you see that sounds weird, but that beautiful vista. We just see like all that land, and you see the giant Imperial City, and you just see like this great view. And immediately, I just want to start walking around and looking at everything.
Absolutely.
And I know like Derek's not that type of gamer, and that's fine. He doesn't like to play like that. But like I love to just walk around and explore, and just like it sounds dumb, but like I love looking at the detail that they. Well, it may not sound dumb, but like I like looking at the detail. I like looking. You know, if I see something on my map, I just like to start walking that direction.
Same here.
I like to see like the trees and the rocks, and it's not like stop and stare down at every rock.
just looking at rocks.
Well, I stop and look at that stuff too. I mean, like the first time I came up to like a little stream or something, I looked at the water and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And like the reflection and stuff like that is neat. I'll look at it for like a couple minutes and I'm done.
You're staring at water for a couple minutes? No wonder you don't feel like walking.
You just stop and stare at rocks for every one you see.
I'm just watching the riffles here.
It takes me an hour to go from one side of the map to the other.
That's another thing, too, with the companions. Like, if you're trying to cross a river or something, and if there's, like, a mud crab or a slaughter fish or just a stupid enemy that you don't want to deal with, they will take it amongst themselves to stop and try to attack it instead of following you. Nice. And, you know, you need, especially if it's in the water, they don't really do well with swimming and attacking in water at the same time. So you need to go back and kill whatever it is that they're looking at. It's almost like they're a dog, you know, and they're looking at their reflection sometimes. It's pretty pathetic.
It's like
that's me.
It's like if Devin was following you because he doesn't know how to jump on anything.
How do I get up on this rock?
I guess I'll just walk around this rock. It's only 2 inches high, but I don't know what to do.
So, well, at least we know how to kill Devin in PvP. Just jump up on something.
How'd you guys do that?
Oh, come down.
Oh, Devin.
Classic Devin. So anyway, any more gripes about the Skyrim video game?
All right, are we wrapping this up?
I don't know. Does anyone have anything else to say about anything at all?
I don't like Skyrim. I mean, Skyrim, I'm sure I will. In the later times, you know, when you play it a little bit more. But up to now.
Come back next time we talk about Skyrim.
Come back for our 7-week podcast of nothing but 2 hours of Skyrim.
I think there's a lot of people who would sit there and listen to that.
Right now, personally, my overall look at the game is I think it's excellent. There's not much I can say bad about it other than just little personal things that would bother me. You know, I've heard a few people talk about different glitches that have happened in the game, you know, with certain quests. That I really don't want to get too much into to spoil, but for the most part, I haven't run across any of those glitches whatsoever.
Oh, speaking of glitches and funny stuff like that, have you guys got hit by a troll yet? Or a giant, I mean?
Yeah, you fly up
giant,
in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do these air cartwheels.
It's freaking hilarious.
It's great. You know, but, you know, simple gameplay, I haven't run across, you know, to where a certain quest might not work, or you'll talk to somebody and they won't give you, you know, whatever you're looking for. I haven't run across anything like that as of yet.
Oh, that's so annoying.
Yeah, I haven't run across really any.
So luckily it's not Fallout New Vegas all over again.
Yeah, so overall Skyrim's pretty awesome. We talked a whole lot about Skyrim this week.
Sorry about that.
Tune in to next week. If you're expecting something more than that, too bad. But next week we'll have a little bit more. We'll probably still talk about Skyrim.
And just anybody who goes out and buys it, remember that Y will let you jump.
Yeah, it's a new feature that they put into video games. You can jump now.
I think we should end this podcast now.
Oh, Devin, you're just saying that.
Oh, Devin.
Tuesday, Saints Row the Third comes out, and so I will be getting that. I'll talk about that next week.
I'm trying to decide between getting a bunch of arrows for my bow or buying Assassin's Creed, and I'm leaning towards arrows.
Brian? Wait to get Assassin's Creed for Black Friday because it goes down to $30.
Oh, shoot. We didn't even talk about Black Friday.
Yeah.
We were going to talk a little bit about that. Black Friday's coming. The end.
So it's not coming till... We can still talk about it next week. Actually, it'd be really good to have it next week because Black Friday is still like 2 weeks away.
All right.
It would be that Friday. It
doesn't
matter.
Tune in next week to hear us talk about this new thing called Black Friday.
Yeah, buddy.
Some sweet deals going out this year for video games.
Anyway, Derek, you want to take it away?
Word.
Thank you.
That's it, folks. Hope you enjoyed this week's discussion on episode 10 of Between the Pixels. Follow us on Twitter at BTWNThePixels and rate us on iTunes 5 stars, son.
Please.
This weekly podcast, released every Tuesday, is also available on Stitcher. Be sure to check out the latest articles on pixelperfectmag.com every day. You should probably leave out the barely relevant stuff.
Barely Relevant has been out for 3.5 months.
Check out our podcast from over a month ago.
If you got any feedback or a topic you want us to discuss, hit us up by emailing btwnthepixels@pixelperfectmag.com. And remember, the views expressed in this podcast are those of the respective speakers and not those necessarily of the...
What? The peener pikes or pixel peckers.
Remember, the views expressed in this podcast are those of the respective speakers and not necessarily those of Pixel Perfect, its staff, or advertisers. Thanks for tuning in.
If you made it this far.
Good luck in Skyrim. May Akatosh be with you.
May Talos guide you.
Piper Septim.